This is the Monicast, all about open source marketing automation with Montic. And here is your host, Eki Gemble.
Well, for those three people out there who may not know who Ruth Cheesley is, Ruth is, first of all, the project lead of the Mautic project, has been around forever, is an employee of the Mautic project, and is in charge of a ton of things, technically, code, IT, but also community-wise, etc. So in so many cases, in way too many cases, the last resort and the driving force behind things. And that also involves, of course, release management. That's why we're sitting here. By the way, if you want to learn more about Ruth, you can go back in time exactly 5 years ago. Modcast number 4 just aired. And that was my first interview with Ruth Cheesley. Indeed. Welcome back, Ruth. Hey, good to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here physically as well.
Yeah, we're sitting here in beautiful Hanover. Sun is sneaking out for the first time today.
Hooray!
Yeah. And by the way, happy birthday, Ruth.
Yeah, well, not me, really.
But okay, happy birthday, Mautic.
Yeah, 10 years ago on Monday was 1.0.0 general release.
Funny. Hey, we're recording this on March 12th, 2025. So 10 years of Mautic. Can you believe it? Today we want to talk about Mautic becoming a grown-up.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, becoming more professional with our releases.
Even more professional, right?
Even more professional. Yeah.
And unlike other Mauticast episodes, we do it all in one thing. So This is both the Mauticast and our interview of the week. So what we normally start with is the latest and greatest in terms of releases. So what do we have on the table?
So we released 5.2.3, which is a bug fix for the 5.2 series. That had, I think it was 14 bug fixes in the end and some security fixes in there.
Yeah, true.
And so that meant we also backported three of those to Mautic 4 for people who are extended long-term support subscribers.
Yeah.
And there was also a week later, the 6.0 beta release. Whoa. So that came out on Monday, a couple of days ago.
Yeah. So for those not familiar with this whole backporting ELTS thing, Mautic 4 is obviously out of support and has been for a while. But for those who still use Mautic 4 and cannot yet upgrade, the Mautic project offers a paid extension of another year of security fixes. So all security fixes backported to Mautic 4.
Yeah. Or if we get security vulnerability reports that only affect Mautic 4.
Yeah, of course.
We would also fix those and release them for Mautic 4.
Yeah, we can talk about that later, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Mautic 6 beta, wow. So we had the alpha, I think we mentioned it on the show already.
Yeah.
When is the release expected?
Yeah, so the release is expected at the end of March. So we're in Q1.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a delay in getting the beta out. It was actually a week later than we were expecting. Just there were some issues with our release pipeline, which checks to see if an upgrade works.
Yeah. Did you say a week later than expected?
A week later than expected.
That's a scandal.
Well, it is for me. And so that means that we've also pushed the release candidate back a week. So that's going to be released on Monday next week. And then that means we haven't got a huge amount of time for testing the release candidate before we go to general availability. So there'll need to be a big concerted effort from the community to actually help with testing that.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, and we're going to talk about all this in detail, of course, because when we say the topic of today is more growing up, becoming even more professional, then we're going to talk about the release cycle and the release management and how all that is good for users and IT and all.
Yeah.
So basically, that's where it all started from. Like we had our pre-existing ideas of a release cycle, and we did great things. But we did hear the feedback from the people who run Mautic on a professional level. That was one of them. who gave their input and said, hey, could we do this? Could we do that? And then, so eventually we tied all that input into a larger effort. Mm-hmm. We had one presentation at the Mautic Con, I remember, by Matthias.
That's right, yeah.
And that was like another kickoff, and then eventually it all was condensed into the new release cycle and strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what were the basic goals for this thing?
I think the main goal was, we did have that feedback from users who were saying we were releasing quite a lot quite quickly. It was quite hard for people to upgrade quickly from one version to another. And from, as a project, we knew that we were also trying to keep up with the Symfony releases. So Symfony is the platform that kind of underlies Mautic.
Mm.
And we were very out of date with that 3 years ago. We've been playing catch up ever since. So the primary goal from Mautic's perspective is to keep up to date with those so that we're always running secure software. But from the user perspective, the goal was actually we want longer periods of stability for Mautic. We want to have periods of time where we get to a point with the release cycle and there aren't any more features coming, so that we can be pretty sure that there aren't going to be any major bugs. So we can run that as a business and not have to worry so much about our customers.
Yeah, that's funny because developers frequently think, ain't that cool? We have yet another feature and here's another one and this and that. And real users, unless there's a feature that they're really keen to get, they don't care. They better not get the feature. They also, even the great UI changes that, mm-hmm. that we had in the past feature releases, kept changing the interface, and people were confused about it.
Yeah.
So stability is a great plus for real users.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, we're also working really hard on the code side to make sure that we're improving our automated tests.
Oh, yeah.
So that we actually pick up the bugs that we wouldn't have picked up before. So when we had Mautic 3, that's when we said any changes to Mautic now has to maintain the code coverage level or improve it. And we were only at 30-ish% of coverage. So only 30% of the code of Mautic had tests to check if it worked.
Mm.
We're now more like 70%, 80%, something like that, with the 7.0 branch I was looking at it the other day. So we're making really good progress in that respect as well. So people can have a bit more confidence that new features will work well and we are picking stuff up, but there's still like 20 or 30% of the code base that isn't covered. There's still situations that happen that are not covered by tests.
Yeah.
And so, it can be frustrating for users if something slips through the net.
And for people to understand, we're talking about this automated testing. Of course, we still test, have multiple testers for every single change, every single feature, and still things fall through the cracks.
Yeah. And the work that's been done in the user interface is also helping with that, because the problem we have with Mautic is like you change something in one place in the user interface and fix a bug there, and that code is actually also being used somewhere else. And so now what we're doing is the user interface is being built from blocks, reusable blocks. And so you change that issue in that one block and it will be fixed everywhere. So it will also, the changes in the user interface are helping us to be kind of less like spaghetti, you know, like where you don't quite know where things are going to end or what other things are affected.
Okay, that's good for users and also good against bugs.
And good for developers because they don't have to write all the accessibility stuff. They don't have to think about it. They've just got pre-made blocks they can use to do a particular function and things like that. Yeah,
lovely. Yeah. So what you're saying basically is that this motivation of having less feature updates because we fear the bugs that may become less and less relevant, still stability is always a good thing also for IT who do not want to go through the stress of upgrading their huge Mautic instance or maybe even SaaS provider who has to upgrade 100 Mautic instances.
Yeah, so the point I guess I'm making is that we're attacking the concerns we're hearing from users from different angles. Mm. One, from making it more stable from the release perspective so that we have a clear release schedule, but also from the perspective of let's make sure what we're releasing is actually well tested. And
Okay, so what else is part of the motivation for the release schedule?
I think also having each release supported for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. So previously we didn't really have any release schedule. We put that in place from Mautic 3 onwards, and we just said we'll do a major release every year. But now what we're talking about doing is actually having a major release supported when we get through the first few years, for 5 years, effectively. Mm-hmm. So that means that you also, as a business, can have a longer period of time to get a return on investment before you then need to invest in migrating on updating your plugins and updating your themes and mm-hmm. things like that as well. Mm. So
yeah, exactly. When I said the IT doesn't love to upgrade too frequently, that's part of the stress, but also part of the budget factor and so on. Of course, has to be said that waiting longer for an upgrade and doing larger steps, like skipping a version or whatever, that also means like what we call technical debt. Mm-hmm. So it might be a single project, but the budget has to be much higher. Mm-hmm. But still, doing a single large project is less stressful than doing mm-hmm. two.
Yeah,
reality.
And it gives people an option, the way that we've done our release cycle. So if people are happy to, like, they want new features, they're happy with a bit less stability because it's not been out there being used and being tested, so we haven't had as many bug reports yet, then they can go straight to the first major release version of that software, or they can decide to wait until we get to long-term support, where there will be no more features and it will just be bug fixes and security fixes. So you can decide when to migrate based on your own risk strategies, based on what works best for your company and so forth. So
yeah, I guess those who will be more conservative know that they do want that.
Yeah.
I think the other aspect was always like what is good for our core team and the developers.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the beginning, I think everybody really said, let's upgrade as frequently as we can. Mm-hmm. So because new features are so great and mm-hmm. so on. But then also maintaining multiple versions is a big burden.
Yeah.
Like we did talk about security fixes for mm-hmm. legacy versions and so on.
Yeah.
So I remember that keep limiting the number of versions that are still maintained and having only a single version in active development was a huge part of the requirements for this whole strategy.
Yeah, that's definitely the feedback we got from the core team, was that it's fine if we need to do, like, over a couple of releases, we need to go through a period of time where we're supporting more versions in order to get to a better state. Mm. So that's actually what's happening with version 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
But actually, in the longer term, the core team only really want to be focused on one which is in active support and one which is in the next phase of development. Yeah. Because we are a small core team, we don't have a huge number of people. And they have to review those pull requests and changes. We have to make sure that we're doing that rigorously so that the quality of the code is good that's coming in. And that is much harder if you're maintaining all the plugins and the themes and the core itself and doing that for multiple versions.
Yeah. So bottom line is there's very good internal reasons for this, but also it's just a tremendous progress for the users mm-hmm. In terms of stability and effort and all.
And long-term planning, because, like, you can now look at our release planning and it goes right up to, I'm just going to check, Q4 2037. So you can't, I'm not saying that we're going to hit every single milestone every single month, but you can get a sense of what's going to be happening in Mautic right the way up to 2037.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it was hard for people to kind of get the long-term sense of when releases were going to happen and how that works in terms of, like you were saying, going from the end of security support and then going over to long-term support. How does that actually look like?
Yeah.
So I think it also helps commercially businesses who are thinking of building businesses with Mautic to actually be able to see, oh, yeah, this is actually sustainable.
Yeah, I think that's the big point
for the
day-to-day. Or not, but for the actual planning, the perspective is much shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I'm happy if people plan for the upgrade that's due next week and next year, not
next week would be good.
and not like come back and say, what do you mean we have to do an upgrade? We didn't budget for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, it enables you to have those conversations with your clients.
Yeah.
It enables businesses who are thinking of coming into the Mautic ecosystem to see what that's going to look like over the next 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, our own strategy here at Leuchtfeuer is really, I mean, there's a lot of details to the strategy, but of course we always want to upgrade to the next major release when it's mature enough. So so that's one good point to see that there's a way to the maturity of the product and to stay on that version for a really long time. Don't have to upgrade, not even to do feature release, minor releases frequently or at all. So maybe we look into that a little more closely. You already mentioned this 5-year timeline. How does it break down?
Yeah, so we start off with having the alpha and the beta and the release candidate. That's where we're actually developing the release itself. And then we start with, say, 7.0 or 8.0. That's what we call the general availability release. That's when it's actually ready for you to use in production. And then we'll have a year and a half of active support for that. And in the first year, there'll be a new feature release every quarter. So you'll have 7.1, 7.2, 7.3. And then when we get to the 0.3 release, that one is long-term support. So after that, no more features. There's just going to be bug fixes after that. So that's the stability that you were talking about there. And then once we've come to the end of the long-term support period, we have security support after that. So that's about a year's worth of security support. But as we get to Mautic 9, that's actually 2 years of security support.
Yeah, this one we finally caught up with Symfony.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. So Mautic 6, 7 and 8 are kind of slightly shorter releases because we're catching up with the release dates for Symfony. So yeah, the 5 years comes through that basically. You've got the year and a half of active development, then you've got the security support. And then at the end of the security support, if you still are on that version and you aren't able to migrate up to the new version, for whatever reason, it might be third-party plugins, it might be your own internal processes. We also have two 1-year blocks of extended long-term support, which you can purchase. Yeah. And the money from that goes to the Mautic community. It helps us to actually support the project and what have you. And you get the security fixes for that version backported for up to 2 years for that version of Mautic.
Yeah, that's the thing that we talked about earlier. And and that period is always from the end of the public security support for 12 months and then another 12 months. And
And you get a small discount if you buy the 2-year blocks. So if you buy it in 2 years rather than one, because you know you need another 2 years, then you get a little bit of a discount. The only difference is Mautic 6 only has 1 year of extended long-term support.
Yeah, I think 6 is special anyway. And internally, we had this discussion whether we should skip the 6 altogether. Because in order to catch up with Symfony, that was the one gap we needed to bridge. So we said, so start 7 early, that's the point. And so that was one option. Decided the other way, that 6 is really a short lifespan thing. We called a bridge release, actually. So with 0 feature releases, just the general availability release, and just 1 year of the full year of security support afterwards.
Yeah.
But just 1 year of extended long-term support.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about 6 as a special case in a bit, but in general, given this whole schedule, which, by the way, we should link in the show notes so everybody
for
can
sure.
look
There's
at it.
There's a blog post which explains it all, and like a picture, a screenshot of all of the dates.
Yeah, exactly. Let me try to recap. We have these like 3/4 of pre-release development, so all internal, public beta, whatever. And then there's a big bang with the GA release. Then we have multiple feature releases, and the last feature release is called the long-term support release.
Yep.
Then additional quarters of patch releases, another year or maybe 2 years of security fixes and the ELTS. That with those 5 years, what is a viable strategy to upgrade then? What does your release cycle allow? Of which strategies would you recommend?
Yeah, so I think I touched on it before about like what your risk levels are in terms of whether you want the latest and greatest versions really quickly. I think a lot of companies who are providing Mautic as a service will probably wait until the end of security support for a version when they can, in most cases, transition straight away to the long-term support of the next version. So I think that's what most companies will do. But there are also businesses who will maybe wait until 7.1 or 7.2, and then they feel like that's the time that they're happy to upgrade. Sometimes it is determined by your dependencies, like what plugins you need to have available for the new version of Mautic, and whether those developers are actually going to do that before long-term support, or whether they do it as soon as the beta comes out and they know what the features and the deprecations are.
Yeah. Yeah, in the long term situation, say when you want to go from Mautic 8 to Mautic 9, you have a very nice overlap of the public support for Mautic 8 and the LTS being around, even the LTS being around before you upgrade.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what we're aiming for. Really, like that's the goal longer term, is that you can. When you get to the end of security support, the long-term support is available for you. So you can go straight from a version that's supported to a version that's supported.
Yeah. Before 8, I mean, there's basically just 7. There is no full overlap. So end of public support is when the LTS comes out, plus or minus.
Yeah.
So that's still an option to consider.
Yeah, so in that situation, security support ends at the end of Q4 2027 for Mautic 7. Mm. And then the long-term support for Mautic 8, which is 8.3, is due in Q1 2028. So it's not like you've got a massive amount of time to wait, but it is like a quarter potentially that you need to wait for the long-term support. So yeah, and that again, that's just because we're in this transition process of moving towards this new release cycle.
And everybody is free to extend the wait time by another year with ELTS.
The LTS, obviously. If they need to, because that's an important thing for GDPR and for other, you know, other accreditations. You need to be using supported software.
Yeah.
And so as soon as the public support finishes, you're not anymore. So yeah, it is a consideration that businesses will need to think about in terms of planning their migration strategies.
Yeah, true. With 6, once again, it's special. We have the same consideration. Where there is an overlap between 6 and 7. That's very smooth. But some people say we go straight from 5 to 7 and skip the bridge release. And that's with the same back-to-back availability. So at the point where 5 ends is when 7 will eventually come out. It's not an overlap there. And once again, it's depends on your personal preferences. We'll see. I mean, everybody has to decide for themselves. Maybe one thing that people should also think about is, do I plan for major investments? Like when I'm planning to develop a huge plugin or set of plugins. I better do that on the new version.
Yeah.
So either update early or delay the project or whatever. That's another thing that comes to the mix. So there's no one size fits all.
Yeah. I think as soon as the beta is released, that's when people are starting to look at plugin developers and say, look, when are you going to support this new version?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when they're starting to make their migration plans, or even before then, you know. So definitely that's the point when you need to think, okay, which version is the best one for me to be building this thing for?
Yeah. When it comes to public third-party plugins, that's a big deal. But there's so many custom plugins out there and investments being done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little side note, I've talked to Stena Kosmani, I think I mentioned that before, about his strategy on supporting major releases. Mm-hmm. And he already adopted the ELTS approach and said like as, or the LTS approach. Mm-hmm. It's not like I do support the latest two major releases, but I support what is supported by the Mautic project. Mm. And that's, of course, very important, because it doesn't help if I get the ELTS for Mautic, but my third-party plugins are no longer supported.
Mm-hmm.
So I did talk to other plugin developers too, and mm-hmm. I think everybody sees this need. Mm-hmm. And in reality, I think it's not a big deal to make that commitment.
Yeah. Also, it's worth mentioning that if you are an extended long-term support customer and there is a third-party plugin which is no longer supported for the version of ELTS that you've purchased, and you would like the Mautic security team to be able to provide support for that plugin, you can also request the security team to look at how much that would cost. And then we open that up to everyone who pays for ELTS. We say it's going to cost this much to provide support, and you pay a proportion of that based on how many people are interested. So then we support.
You organize the process.
Yeah. So ELTS team will be the people who will be running, you know, dealing with the security fixes for that plugin and distributing it to the people who've paid to be part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. We've talked about ELTS so many times now. Where can people find details on that?
Yeah, it's on the main website. So we have a shiny new website. And if you have a look under the product section, there's some information about long-term support there, and you'll be able to find the information for... Currently, we're only selling support for Mautic 4. But once we get closer to the end of security support for 5, then we'll also be able to be selling support for 5.
Yeah. So that's directly on the website now, no longer a landing page with external process and so
on. We can put the link in the show notes as well, I guess, so people can go there directly.
Yeah. Would you tell us a little bit more about this shiny new website? Because I think it's so such a big deal, such a big step forward for Mautic. I can't stop celebrating.
I know. I mean, it's been a real process. It's been a real process to actually get the new website live. We've wanted to improve the ability for Mautic to promote itself as a product rather than just an open source project. And that's what this website does really well, I think. So the team have been working on this since June last year, was when we got the okay from the council to move ahead with this, and we got some funding support from DropSolid, who gave us a member of staff to actually help us work with the building and the wireframes and so forth. It's been a labor of love. It really has. I think it makes Mautic look a lot more professional.
Yeah.
It gives us some really nice features like the members and partners database, which is also integrated into the verticals page. So if you're looking for a provider who works with the education section, you can actually see them on that page now. Just gives so much more information about Mautic. We've seen the highest sign-up rate for trials ever since we launched the trials, since we put the new website live.
Wow, that's a good sign.
Yeah. So it's really making an impact.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the analytics data.
yeah, me too.
Okay, what else should we mention? Anything else on the release cycle? Maybe on... Let's talk about Mauticon for a bit.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I think we are at the point where we now have the call for locations for the on-premise Mauticon in November, give or take, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's always a call for locations open on the community portal. We are inviting people to suggest that they would like Mauticon to come to their country.
Yeah.
And they can just fill in a form. You do need to have a small team of people who are willing to work on that together and be the on-site team to work with the community team. But I'm excited to hear where people want Mauticon to be next year.
Yeah.
This year, sorry.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we want to decide that pretty soon, I guess. So yeah. If you are interested, don't wait too long.
Mm-hmm.
Would also help if there's some sort of user base in your region. Mm. So people who would potentially attend the Mauticon. And other than that, Europe is not possible this year because we went to Portugal, beautiful Portugal last year. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, please give us your ideas, and that link is also in the show notes. Anything else you want to mention?
I don't think so.
Well, then another Mordicast is in the can. Thank you very much for being here, Ruth.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me back again.
Okay. And to everybody else, if you have ideas or comments, like always, send them over. And we're happy to work it all in. Ruth, thanks. Have a safe trip home.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care, everybody.